It's been a week of wins and losses for the White House. The U.S. and China agreed to phase one of a trade deal, while a House committee approved articles of impeachment against President Trump.
President Trump's time in the White House has been sort of marked by, you know, political whiplash. You know, we've seen extreme highs and extreme lows throughout these, you know, nearly 3 years. But even by Trump standards, this was a sort of remarkably extreme week of contrasts.
And no more sitting on laps. Kids are now Skyping with Santa. It's Friday, December 13th. This is the PM edition of What's News from the Wall Street Journal. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli in New York. After more than 12 hours of debate, the House Judiciary Committee has approved two articles of impeachment, charging President Trump with abuse of power and obstruction of Congress. Today's vote along party lines sets the stage for a vote by the full House next week. If either article is approved, Trump would become the third American president to be impeached by the House. But efforts to remove him from office are expected to fall short in the Republican-led Senate, where a two-thirds majority is needed to impeach. UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson says he'll move quickly on Brexit and promise to boost public spending after a decisive election win on Thursday. The Conservative Party scored its biggest win since 1987, with Johnson winning a majority of 80 seats in Parliament. Johnson says the UK's split with the European Union will be completed by January 31st. In a Wall Street Journal exclusive, we report that the U.S. Justice Department is preparing legal action against concert promotion giant Live Nation over its ticketing practices. Specifically, they allege that the company is strong-arming concert venues into using its Ticketmaster subsidiary. That would be a violation of a merger settlement Live Nation and Ticketmaster reached with the government in 2010. U.S. consumers held back on purchases in November. The Commerce Department reported a slower-than-expected start to the holiday season, with lackluster sales on items ranging from clothes to electronics. November is a key month for retailers hoping to rack up sales on Thanksgiving and Black Friday. Thanksgiving also fell late this year, making for a shorter holiday season with six fewer shopping days as compared to 2018. It's been a long trade war, but it looks like there may be a truce. U.S. and Chinese officials announced today that they've come to a limited agreement, phase one as they've been calling it. President Trump agreed to cancel new tariffs scheduled to take effect on Sunday and agreed to cut the existing 15% tariffs on $120 billion worth of Chinese goods in half. In exchange, China has agreed to boost purchases of U.S. agricultural products by $32 billion over the next 2 years, and they'll work to raise that total up to $50 billion annually. The U.S.-China trade dispute has rattled markets before, but reactions today were mixed, with some analysts saying investors are waiting for more specifics on the deal. Joining me now from Washington is Wall Street Journal reporter Josh Zumbrun. So, Josh, there are a lot of pledges here. Is any of it binding?
The basic gist, from what we understand at this point, and again, we haven't seen the written details, so this could change, is that if China doesn't live up to its commitments, the tariffs that the U.S. has imposed will kind of snap back into place. So that's kind of the enforcement mechanism, that if China plays along, the tariffs that were lowered today remain off. But if China doesn't follow through, then the tariffs return. The tariffs could even rise.
Okay, let's take a look at the broader economic picture here. This has been a very long dispute ongoing between the U.S. and China. It's not over yet. What can you tell us about how people are feeling about economic recovery from this?
So you can kind of break down what's happened in the trade war into two pieces. One is the direct impact of the tariffs themselves. So the U.S. has imposed tariffs on $360 billion a year worth of Chinese goods. And they've agreed to cut the tariffs on about $110 billion of that, a partial cut on $110 billion. So you're seeing a little bit kind of coming back from what's been put on there. And so a lot of economists have kind of estimated that the trade war took about half a percentage point off U.S. growth. So if you look back into early 2018, the U.S. economy was growing about 3%. If you look in recent quarters, it's been growing about 2%. And economists think about half of that slowdown is kind of from the trade effects. So we're getting a little bit of that. We're expected to get a little bit of that back. So that adds up to actually not a huge amount, maybe, you know, 0.1% or 0.2% on growth. That's not actually a huge pickup. But the other big effect that the trade war has had on the economy is that it's introduced a huge amount of uncertainty for businesses trying to kind of plan their operations. And we've seen a lot of businesses holding off on making investments and kind of making decisions about new factories and new supply chains. And so we might expect some of that to come back as well. But there's a big question mark there, which is, you know, how long does this truce last? We've seen a lot of truces between the U.S. and China that they appeared great at first, and then more details came out. They weren't as good as people thought, and then they end up falling apart. And so even if that's not the case this time, it's happened so many times that I think a lot of people are still going to be a little uncertain about whether or not this deal is really the one that sticks. If it does prove to stick over time, you could start to see kind of all that trade-related drag start to fade because the uncertainty would kind of dissipate. But for now, it's just too soon to say. People have been burned too many times.
Wall Street Journal reporter Josh Zumbrun joining us from Washington. Thank you so much, Josh.
Thanks for having me.
Getting China to agree to a trade deal has been a major focus for the Trump administration, and it was just one of a couple of big wins for the White House this week. There was also Democratic support for the USMCA trade deal and bipartisan agreement on a spending bill. But those big wins all came as House Democrats moved forward with articles of impeachment against President Trump. Joining us now to talk about this roller coaster week in Washington is Wall Street Journal White House reporter Catherine Lucey. So a lot of news this week. Catherine, let's start with impeachment. The House Judiciary Committee advanced two articles of impeachment against the president today. That now goes to the full House, but even if it passes there, both parties say it's unlikely to advance in the Senate, where Republicans have the majority. So if we're telling wins and losses for the week here, who comes out ahead?
Well, as with many things in Trump's Washington, which is, as we know, very politically divided, this is a mixed result. Certainly, impeachment, which we believe will come next week in the House, is a serious, you know, this is a serious rebuke of the president. This has only happened a handful of times before in history. Only a few presidents have ever been impeached by the House. So this is a serious, as I said, a rebuke on his presidency, on his record. This has historic implications. That said, he is not expected to, you know, he's expected to be acquitted in the Senate. And so moving forward, you know, he is not expected to leave office. And there then are sort of pros and cons to this for both sides. You know, Democratic House members truly felt they had to move forward this, that this was, these charges were serious, that they had to do this. And they certainly were hearing from supporters in parts of the country that this was important. They've really cast this as a sort of a moral choice, that this is something that they've had to do, that this is their responsibility as elected officials. On the president's side, he and his allies have consistently rejected the impeachment process entirely. They have cast it as a witch hunt. They have cast it as a sham. And we have seen that among his supporters, that this has been an effective strategy, that his campaign says that fundraising has ticked up, you know, interest in volunteering, attendance in his rallies, that his base has really been invigorated by what they see as a partisan effort.
Let's turn to trade. A lot of news on that front this week. Earlier, we had an agreement, Democrats signing on to the USMCA deal, which is the rewrite of NAFTA between Canada, Mexico, and the U.S. And today we got news that the U.S. and China have finally sealed a phase one agreement on their trade dispute. So progress on both sides sounds like a win for President Trump, who has vowed to renegotiate U.S. trade agreements with other nations.
Absolutely. President Trump ran on renegotiating NAFTA. He ran on taking a new approach with China. These are campaign promises that he very badly wanted to show progress on before 2020, when we know he'll be seeking re-election. And so, yes, these are absolutely important wins for him, you know, going into the new year. But I would also say that, you know, a lot of Democrats also wanted to reach a agreement on the USMCA. And there was a lengthy negotiation, concessions made on both sides to get there. And that one of the calculations on behalf of Democratic leadership was that while impeachment is underway, it was important for them to show that they were continuing to do their legislative work. and that for members, particularly those representing swing districts, Democrats who had flipped districts that had previously been held by Republicans in 2018, it was very important for them to be able to go back to their districts over the holiday break and be able to show that they were continuing to work. And this is one issue that in a lot of those areas is very important. Renegotiating NAFTA was seen as a key priority in both manufacturing and agricultural sectors. And so that has benefits on both sides.
We also had a bipartisan deal on spending this week, kind of snuck in there between all the trade and impeachment news. Current funding is set to expire on December 20th. But if we think back, not too long ago, we had a government shutdown over funding, particularly over funding for the border wall in 2018. So it seems like any deal before the looming deadline is a win. This sounds like it came through rather quickly compared to that one.
Yeah, I think that you can cast as a win for all. No, both sides were fairly open all along that no one really wanted to repeat the shutdown of last year, which obviously started before Christmas, snuck into the next year, was not seen as politically advantageous for the president. And so there was a lot of effort, both from the White House, from lawmakers, to try and get to a agreement that everyone could live with. And I think there wasn't a lot of interest in stretching this into the holidays.
Okay, so taking a look at all of the week's news overall, what can we say about the final tally for President Trump? How was his week?
You know, it is a hard – President Trump's time in the White House has been sort of marked by, political whiplash. You know, we've seen extreme highs and extreme lows throughout these, nearly 3 years. But even by Trump standards, this was a sort of remarkably extreme week of contrasts. You saw him reach conclusion on a number of long-held – complicated, legislative and trade promises between the North American trade deal rewrite, between the China deal, as well as other issues we didn't discuss. Some things got into some of the bills that are, advancing this week, his goal of Space Force. So he scored a lot of things this week. A huge amount of stuff sort of came together in this week. But on the other side of the ledger, impeachment moved forward. He is on track to be one of a very small number of presidents who have been impeached by the House. And that is a significant historic moment. So it is truly a split screen of, a stack of wins, but one very significant loss.
Wall Street Journal White House reporter Catherine Lucy joining us from Washington. Thank you so much, Catherine.
Thank you.
And before we go this week, a tip on Santa and where to find him. It used to be at the mall, but with fewer families shopping there, Santa has had to meet his customers where they are, and that's online. The Denver-based company Talk to Santa has more than 300 Santas who spend hours chatting with kids by video. Parents can sign up for the service and send through their kids' names and wish lists. This season, the company says they'll deliver more than 10,000 videos to kids all over the country. The St. Nicks on Talk to Santa represent just a fraction of the more than 5,000 professional Santas in the United States. But the online trend is catching on quickly. They have quadrupled their actors since the service launched 5 years ago. And that's what's news for this Friday afternoon. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.